takes the snap, looking left now. Middle cover going to step up against the pressure, and down he goes. Play clock to 7. Snap back, Rodgers. Flicks it into the left side of the end zone, and it is caught by James Jones for the Green Bay touchdown. Rodgers takes the snap, looks left. Going to flick it into the end zone, in front of ball to Jones. Touchdown, Green Bay. Pump now fades it into the left side of the end zone, and DePauw makes the catch. Touchdown, Green Bay on Sherrick McManus. Trips to the left. Snap is back to Cutler. Whitley throws it over the middle, intercepted by Clay Matthews. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Matthews at midfield. Matthews to the 40. Nobody can bring him down. He tries to get the ball up, but he's brought down at around the 32-yard line of the Bears. You've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Welcome to the ChicagoFootball.com Bears podcast. We have a real football game to recap and to preview. I'm Kevin Fishbane, your host, joined by Arthur Arkish, our executive producer who put up that awesome mashup with Dan Mott, and our associate producer, John Sally. Of course, credit Jeff Joniak, 780 WBBM, FM 105.9. Great show for you today. Again, brief recap of that loss to the Packers. Then we're going to turn the page to the Cardinals, talk to Kent Summers of azcentralsports.com to learn about the Bears' Week 2 foe. And then we're going to talk to Mark Mariani, Bears returner, in the second half of the show. And then Hub Arkish will join us to conclude, and we'll make our picks. Make sure you're following us all on Twitter at Bears_insider, at Shy Football. I am at K Fishbane. He is at Arthur Arkish. And hey, go subscribe to us on iTunes, because I can't think of anything else you'd want to do right now other than listen to this Bears podcast. Arthur, real on the show, we're going to do brief recaps because you're listening to this Tuesday night or Wednesday. You're already thinking about the next game, but we got to talk about the Packers. You just heard some of the highlights, and we're going to give you our biggest surprise, disappointment, and one moment that mattered. So, Arthur, we'll start with the biggest surprise for you, good or bad, from watching that game.
Well, I have to go bad, unfortunately. You know, the Bears were close, but we know close is only good enough in horseshoes and hand grenades. So I thought the biggest surprise was that the best player on the field for the Bears didn't get a carry on the decisive fourth down. Well, it was on 4th and 2, but that whole goal line stand by the Packers in the fourth quarter was the Bears' best chance to draw even. Disappointed that after the major commitment to the run game for, you know, a better part of three quarters, they weren't able to find a way to get Forte the football.
I've never played horseshoes. I've never thrown a hand grenade, but I understand the metaphor. My surprise was on offense. I'll go positive. I am impressed with the way the offense was run. You know, Jay Cutler was poised. He was calm, cool, collected. Yes, his accuracy overall was bad. Yes, he threw the interception, but he was 8 of 10 on third down, and I did not expect to see that against this Packers defense. I really didn't expect to see the Bears force, I want to say, 3 neutral zone infractions against the Packers, you know, Dom Capers defense. So there was some positives to take out there. I guess that could have been your biggest disappointment, Arthur. They didn't hand the ball to Forte, but let's go ahead and talk defense. You know, what kind of disappointed you on that side of the football?
Well, it has to be a lack of pressure. You know, I think that the next time that Aaron Rodgers finishes a game without being put on his back and loses will be the first time. So, you know, we saw some nice strides from the defense, but they just couldn't get home. And that's just an impossible recipe for success against the league MVP. So it's definitely an area I think will be a big time focus this week.
My disappointment was that I just don't have enough to say about the Bears defense. And I think you and I were sitting next to each other after the game. We're trying to figure out what we're going to write about. And yeah, the pass rush didn't get home, but you know, some of those throws Rodgers made were, you know, Antrell Roll called them immaculate. They were unbelievable. I mean, kind of throw your hands up in the air, you tip your cap. I don't think we really learned a ton about this defense based on that performance.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I guess one, going back to the positive, if I can throw in one more surprise because I had it written down here, I think Adrian Amos and Eddie Goldman not looking totally overmatched, not getting exposed by Rodgers, who's done that to much more experienced players in his career, that's certainly a positive. That was one big takeaway on defense for me Sunday.
So I'm sure all of our listeners head to ChicagoFootball.com all the time and after every Bears game. Arthur has great notebooks after the games. I do a little thing called the three and out, and I talk about kind of pick 3 moments that matter in the game. Try to stay away from the obvious ones. You know, you're going to talk about the Cutler interception. What is maybe one moment, Arthur, that kind of you think turned the game, or one moment that really sticks out for you from Sunday's loss?
Well, I already talked about, obviously, the ineptitude on that last goal line stand. So let's talk about the first series of the second half for the Bears. The Pack had just marched down and scored in the blink of an eye. And it was one more instance of the Bears settling for field goals when I felt they needed six to pull off the upset. I look back to Matt Forte again. I've already said I thought he was the best player on the field, but a play that comes to mind is one of his bad drops. It was, I believe, a second or a third down, and it looked like it could get him right down to the goal line, and he went up for it, and it went right through his hands, and it was already after Matt Slauson had pushed him back with the holding call and got him behind schedule. So that was tough to overcome. They settled for three, and obviously we know the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, that play, and I was also, I mean, similar to that, I was thinking back to Vlad Dukas' false start, you know, and then you talk about these things that, and I was even thinking back to week four last year. Remember how many points they left on the field in what was a kind of a close game with the Packers until the fourth quarter? And to think that we can look at this game and think of three drives that they didn't convert that really maybe could have changed the game. On the defensive side of the ball, and folks can see this on the Chicago Football Playbook video, which will be on our site tonight and Wednesday morning. We are taping this on Tuesday. One of the plays we broke down was 3rd and 11. Rodgers to Randall Cobb. It was a 10-yard gain, and then it set up an easy fourth down conversion. It was that long drive, Arthur, that you wrote about. It took, I think, 10 minutes, got a touchdown. Packers went up by 8. And then, you know, from that point forward, that was kind of the game. And I think that play really kind of turned the tide. But listen, we're done. That's it. No more talking Green Bay Packers. We are moving on. Every show, I promise you, we're going to stick it close, kind of 5 minutes, 6 minutes, just breaking down the game, recapping it in that way. Arthur's going to come back in a little bit. We're going to turn the page right now to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I was very impressed with the Arizona Cardinals. I went back, watched that game against the New Orleans Saints. They went out there and won 31-19. That first drive, Carson Palmer was really the Carson Palmer of USC, the Carson Palmer of the Cincinnati Bengals, the Carson Palmer we've seen at times when he's healthy in Arizona, just picking apart the New Orleans Saints defense. And it was very impressive the way he did it. 5 of 6 throwing on the drive, you know, really connecting with John Brown, who is someone the Bears fans will probably know who he is on Sunday, watching him at Soldier Field, fast guy, and converting the touchdown. And, you know, the thing about the Cardinals, they don't have Andre Ellington for this game coming up on Sunday, so how does that affect the offense? But, man, Carson Palmer was just, as I said, really, really impressive. I don't know how many people had him on their fantasy team, but just take a look at these stats for Palmer in that first game against New Orleans and Rob Ryan's defense. 19 of 32, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, a passer rating of 122.8. Made completions to 10 different receivers in that game. Again, very impressed with week one, because when you think Arizona Cardinals, yes, you think Bruce Arians in the offense, but first thing I always think of is the defense and what they have there, and now the Bears have to worry about that offense too.
We had enemy lines.
Joining us now to break down the Arizona Cardinals, it's Kent Summers of azcentralsports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent Summers, S-O-M-E-R-S. And Kent, I went back and watched that game, Cardinals Saints, and was pretty impressed by how efficient Carson Palmer was. We've been talking about that Cardinals offense. You're around this team. I'm not sure. Were you surprised by how good they looked?
The way he played, especially to open the game and in the fourth quarter, really is what we've seen all during training camp from him. He, he came back from that ACL tear in just 7 months, and all through camp, he was really on point. It was interesting to watch. It was a guy who feels totally comfortable in this offensive system, comfortable with his receivers, and realizes that, you know, his time in the league is short, and so he's really serious and putting in a ton of time because he thinks this team is capable of making a deep playoff run.
This is Kent Summers. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent Summers, S-O-M-E-R-S. He's covered the Cardinals for a long time out there, azcentralsports.com. And Kent, I was just talking about John Brown as well. My co-host, Arthur Arkish, he has a big man crush on John Brown. Obviously, he had that standout rookie season, looked pretty good in week one. What is the dynamic that he's really brought to this offense to kind of complement Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald?
Speed and a lot of it. I mean, he's a very slightly built guy. He's put on a little bit of weight and strength in the off season because he wore down last year a little and had trouble beating press coverage, but he's very fast and he's a guy who doesn't slow down in and out of breaks. He, even the defensive backs of the Cardinals marvel at him. And he's the kind of receiver, Bruce Arians has always had success with, just the guys who can who can just fly down the field. And Arians loves to take about a half dozen deep shots every game. And John Brown gives him that element, and so does rookie J.J. Nelson. They'll play the two of them together at times, and it can be a difficult matchup for secondaries.
Looking at this running back situation, Andre Ellington expected to be out, so it'll be the Johnsons back there, Johnson and Johnson for the Arizona Cardinals. And you know, Chris Johnson, obviously his best days are behind him, but the rookie looked pretty good on that catch and run for a touchdown. What do you expect in terms of how they're going to use these running backs to try to get a run game going against the Bears?
Well, it's going to be Chris Johnson starting, and I think he'll get the majority, the vast majority of the carries. And you're right, I don't know how much he has left. It's hard to judge because as soon as he got here, he strained a hamstring, and he just hasn't played that much. He's looked good at times, or other times where felt like he's missed some cuts and missed some holes and misread things. David Johnson, their third round pick out of Northern Iowa, gives them a bigger back, 220 pounds. But if anybody who saw that little pass he took 55 yards for a touchdown, he's got breakaway speed. But Bruce Arians said on Monday, look, I don't want to overload the kid. The worst thing you can do to a rookie is give him too much and then he fails and you hurt his confidence. I think he wants to ease him in, but I would think he'll be a factor at least in the passing game. I mean, he went to Northern Iowa as a receiver and then converted to running back, and he has excellent hands. I mean, he catches the ball as naturally as a lot of wide receivers. So they've got the Johnson and Johnson duo, and then they've got a steady guy in Stephon Taylor who's not flashy or anything, but runs tough inside and can pick up blitzes. So as long as Ellington's not out long term, they should be okay at running back.
Yeah, and I mean, you've been covering the Arizona Cardinals long enough to generally expect a running back injury almost every week, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it went through all of last season, really, beginning with Ellington, even before the season when he partially tore a tendon in his foot, all through the year. Guys went down, and then, and then Ellington again last week comes limping off the field. I think every Cardinals fan was thinking, oh, no, not again. And then they were relieved to find out it's only going to be 1 to 3 weeks. But it's damaging to this offense because when he's full speed, and that hasn't been often enough, he really is electric, and he's a matchup problem, especially in the passing game. He's a real matchup problem for linebackers and safeties.
Well, I did want to start with the offense because, as I said, I was so impressed just watching that first drive and the rest of that game, seeing what Carson Palmer was able to do. But I think most Bears fans, most people who follow the Bears and follow the NFC casually, think of the Cardinals for the way the defense has been the past couple of years. And it seems like a defense that really flies around. And I'm curious, in terms of schemes and kind of some of the things you're noting, how much has the Todd Bowles departure really changed things, if at all, from the way they do things?
Well, it's hard to tell just yet. They say it's not going to change anything, that it's the same scheme. This is what Bruce Arians wants, a 3-4 base, but one that will bring pressure from all different areas, one that, has corners who are able to play man coverage. They're very versatile at safety. They have guys like Dayon Buchanan who can come down and play linebacker, Tyrann Mathieu, who, comes down from safety and plays nickel corner. So we'll see. I think that the thing that has to worry Cardinal fans going into this matchup is last week they gave up almost 150 yards in passing and receiving to two Saints running backs. So, and if that's one thing I would think the Bears can do is try and isolate Matt Forte on screen passes and other short stuff to see if they can do the same thing.
And if folks listening don't know Calais Campbell, go watch some clips of Calais Campbell. I think he's one of the most underrated, very good 3-4 players in the league. Who are some of the other guys in this front seven that are Bears fans, people watching the game, are really going to notice for the way they kind of wreak havoc for the Cardinals front of that defense?
One guy who's really coming on and it fills a great need for them is Alex Okafor, outside linebacker. He's shown a lot of pass rush skills. Really, at the midway point of last season, he started to display those. He had two sacks last week. I think he's got, seven or so, I want to say, in his last nine games. They think he can be a double-digit sack guy. So he's a solid player. They're very high on their nose tackle, Rodney Gunter, a fourth-round pick out of Delaware State. I mean, most of us didn't even know there was, you know, a Delaware State that it even existed, but they think they've really found something there. And then they just got some older guys, some veteran guys in Frosty Rucker and Corey Redding, who are just real steady and great leaders. You know, the question with this team, I think, still is that inside linebacker. They still miss Darrell Washington, who remains suspended. You know, Cardell Stanby went to Cleveland a year ago. Larry Foote, a starter last year, retired. He's coaching the inside linebackers now. So you've got Kevin Minter, a second-round pick that they think has really improved this year. Sean Weatherspoon, they picked up from Atlanta in free agency. They think can be an every-down linebacker, but he missed almost all of training camp with a hamstring pull. So that position still, they're still trying to figure that out. If there's a weakness, I think, with this team or question mark, it's up the middle, you know, at nose tackle and at inside linebacker.
And the Bears did get a lot of runs off left guard and then off left tackle. And you know, Jay Cutler is going to test it out. He's going to test Patrick Peterson. He's going to test the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. This secondary, I imagine, you know, maybe a couple years ago is all about Peterson. Now it's probably all about Mathieu. What does he really bring to the defense and maybe allow them to do that they maybe might not have been able to do with a lesser safety?
Just so versatile and so instinctive. You know, last year was kind of a season that was written off for him. He really couldn't come back from the two torn knee ligaments he suffered the December before, and now he's back to his old self. The knee brace is gone. He's all over the field for a small guy. He's surprisingly physical and a good tackler. He has the ability, as I said, to go into the slot and defend almost any receiver. And James Butcher, their first-year coordinator, has all preseason and once or twice last week against the Saints brought him off the edge as a blitzer. I think you can expect to see that Sunday. Mathieu had a couple of pass breakups, and I think he had eight tackles. Really played well, and, you know, his goal is to be comeback player of the year in the NFL. And the way he looked in camp, that doesn't seem too far-fetched.
And we'll wrap up with this, Kent, talking to Kent Summers, azcentralsports.com, covers the Cardinals out there. Bruce Arians is somebody that, for Bears fans, he's kind of the ultimate what-if. He's the ultimate hypothetical of what would have happened if Phil Emery hired Bruce Arians instead of Mark Trestman. What would that have meant for the Bears the past couple seasons? You've covered Bruce for a few seasons now. I'm curious your impressions of him just as a coach and then also from a media standpoint, because we talk a lot about this in Chicago with John Fox. What, you know, the reporter-coach relationship has been like getting the experience to cover Bruce Arians?
He is amazingly open. There's still football coach stuff there that, you know, there are things he won't tell you, but he's up front. He won't avoid the question. He'll just look you in the eye and say, you know, I'm not telling you guys that. He's unfiltered. He enjoys the back and forth with the media. You know, I think the better the question, the better the answer. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He has fun with that whole relationship. Maybe as much as any coach I've been around, he understands that, you know, reporters are trying to do a job, and, you know, and he's got a job, and it doesn't have to be necessarily knocking heads all the time. I mean, I really do. If the Bears had hired him, I really think he would have been the most popular Bears coach since Ditka. And he's that much fun. I think he would have been a perfect fit for that city. And I know he really, really wanted that job. And the only reason he was hired here is the Bears went another direction, and he was out of, you know, he was out of alternatives, and really the Cardinals were too. They was kind of they were, you know, there for each other after all other possibilities were exhausted. And, you know, they got really lucky that it's been a good fit with Arians and this whole area and general manager Steve Kahn.
Well, Kent, you've successfully made all Bears fans and beat writers jealous of Bruce Arians and what they have.
Yeah,
in Arizona.
People say that to me all the time. Other writers, like, wow, is he really as good as you know, as it looks from afar? And his press conferences are as entertaining as any I've been around. And he's just a pretty good guy. You know, it's he, like I said, he's he realizes this is his last shot, and Bruce Arians is a fun-loving guy who loves football, and he's not going to make himself miserable by letting the media get to him.
Sounds like a smart guy to me. So,
yeah, me too.
All right, that was Kent Summers again. Thanks so much for the insight into the Arizona Cardinals, Kent.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Wow, what a brilliant novel idea. A coach who just has fun with the media and tells them things and then just says if he's not going to tell me, tells them straight up. That was Kent Summers, azcentralsports.com, Cardinals beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Kent Summers, S-O-M-E-R-S. And he wasn't really surprised by how well the offense played, and I hope you guys learned some of the names of that defense in terms of players on defense that you know Bears fans are going to see on Sunday, because they're going to be swarming around the football. And Arthur, that brings us now, Arthur Argus, by the way, back with us. Kicked him out for the interview, but he's back in. Don't worry, Arthur, I asked him specifically about your man crush, John Brown.
Outstanding, and I assume he had some positive things to say about the way that Brown has the ability to strike fear into defenses and get on top of defenses. But, yeah, I know you had kind of segued prior to the Summers interview at someone Bears fans, for better or worse, will certainly familiarize with Sunday Soldier Field.
Actually, his response was, tell Arthur that John Brown wants him to stop talking about him all the time. So, you know, clearly it's getting out to Arizona how much you talk about John Brown. Let's break down the matchups each week. We'll do this kind of offense versus defense matchups of the game. You can, by the way, read a much detailed, more detailed version of this in our weekly ChicagoFootball.com insert in the Chicago Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, Northwest Herald, lots of other newspapers. Arthur, Bears rushing defense versus rushing offense versus Cardinals run defense, strength versus strength. The Saints absolutely shut down against the Cardinals in the run. We know what Matt Forte did. How do you see this matchup going?
Well, you know, I think it's worth pointing out that the Saints didn't exactly have a really strong rushing attack last season. While the Bears certainly are trending in the right direction in that respect, I thought that was the strength of the offensive line Sunday, and I think it's going to be the recipe for success for Chicago moving forward. Obviously, guys like Calais Campbell versus Kyle Long are areas you want to watch. I know they invested in Sean Weatherspoon, former Mizzou guy, in the middle there. And then they have guys in the secondary who will certainly come up and lay some hits, and Tyrann Mathieu and guys like that.
Yeah, this matchup, strength versus strength with the Bears run against the Cardinals run defense, I copped out, called it a draw. And then now looking at the Bears passing offense versus the Cardinals pass defense, you have to factor in the running backs. As Kent was talking about, the Saints running backs did a pretty good job against the Cardinals catching passes out of the backfield. Something Bruce Arians talked about this week is something they're keen in on.
Defensively, we've got to figure out who's got the back when we're blitzing, and that's pretty obvious. We've run that blitz 1,000 times in training camp, and we got too anxious to go after the quarterback today and not cover the back. It's a very simple thing. So the things that I looked at that were major were very easily correctable.
And Arians is alluding to Mark Ingram going off for nearly 100 receiving yards. It was Arizona's way to counter, it was New Orleans' way to counter Arizona's frequent blitzing. I think that can work right into Chicago's hands. Obviously, we know what Matt Forte is capable of as a receiver, but also Martellus Bennett, Eddie Royal, these guys that are terrific in the middle of the field on shorter passing routes. So Arizona doesn't have any top-flight pass rushers. They're forced to blitz. And Chicago's obviously still working out some things with their pass protection, so that could be a potential strength.
Yeah, when I wrote this up, Arthur, I just pretty much said I can't give the Bears passing offense an edge until they really get into a rhythm, and especially against a defense like the Cardinals, as you said, that they're going to really create some problems up front, and I imagine they're going to fix the problems they had covering Mark Ingram and Kerry Robinson out of the backfield. All right, Arizona's got the ball. Carson Palmer looked really, really good. We mentioned John Brown, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, tight end Darren Fells had a good game. Is there any reason to not give the Cardinals passing offense the edge here?
No, I don't think so. Not based off what we've seen in the Bears secondary. The one thing I would say, or at least the one thing that I expect this week, is that the Bears will have more success with their rush. There was a push at times, but Aaron Rodgers is just so darn slippery and savvy in and out of the pocket. So, Carson Palmer does not have that same mobility, and Arizona does not deploy that same quick passing attack. They want to set up downfield shots, which require 5 and 7 step drops. It's going to get the Bears an extra split second or so to get home. And I think that's really their only chance, given the struggles we saw from guys like Alan Ball and Kyle Fuller against Arizona's really deep and really talented pass catching core.
You just sent me into a mind wandering. If Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn had a sitcom called Slippery and Savvy, they could have really fun back and forth. You know, they banter with each other. You know, just something to consider. Okay, back to football though. Cardinals run offense versus Bears run defense. Andre Ellington is out, and Chris Johnson, David Johnson, the Johnson & Johnson company going against that Bears run defense. They were okay against Eddie Lacy, not great, but not terrible, only gave up the one, you know, 16-yard run. I actually gave the Bears the edge here, I think, you know, mainly because Ellington's out. If Ellington's in, I give Arizona the edge. It doesn't mean I think it's going to be easy for this defense to go at them. Are you in agreement there?
Well, just quickly, with all due respect to Aaron Rodgers, if Olivia Munn is in any sitcom entitled that or anything otherwise, I'm watching. Big fan. As far as is the Cardinals' run game, in my opinion, with or without Andre Ellington, I think the Bears can gain an edge here. And I really like David Johnson, but he didn't get a carry out of the backfield last week, and Chris Johnson just doesn't scare anyone anymore. You know, the Bears' inside linebackers have work to do, but I thought the defensive line at times was good. I know the rush wasn't there, but this is an area where I expect the Bears to be able to take advantage on the shorthanded Cardinals.
Well, that is our matchup breakdown, Bears versus Cardinals. Again, you can read a much more detailed version of that and all stuff you need for the previous game in our insert into the Thursday edition of the Chicago Sun-Times, Daily Herald, and Northwest Herald. You know, each week on the show, we're gonna try as often as we can to get a Bears player to talk about pretty much anything but football. You heard it a couple weeks ago with Kyle Long. We're going to do it, you know, maybe once a month or something, as often as we can. This week, Mark Mariani, kickoff and punt returner. We talked about Montana. We talked about Jay Cutler, some country music. You can listen to that right now and enjoy some Mark Mariani. All right, joining us on the ChicagoFootball.com podcast, Bears return man, wide receiver Mark Mariani. Mark, first question, how different is Chicago from Montana?
It's pretty much as close as you can get from night and day, man. I've had a little bit of a, you know, kind of awakening period coming up here. I had that when I left college and went to Nashville, and I thought that was the big city. And then I got my feet up here in the big city, and I was like, okay, this is the real big city. This is what it's, this, you know, here's the traffic, here's the buildings and the cement and all that stuff. But I'm loving it, man. I'm growing to love it, and my wife and I are all settled in now and really getting to really enjoy the city for what it is, and it's been phenomenal.
What's one thing from Montana you miss most?
Probably the wide open spaces and you know, the sound of nothing. I don't know if that makes sense, but getting out away from everybody and kind of shutting the car off and going, you know, fresh air and Mother Nature, and you got to go a ways to find that.
So are you the fastest person in the entire state?
I don't know. I probably was accused of that at one time, but I don't know. I don't know if there's probably guys now, but you know, we're stepping our game up, man. We got a lot of guys sprinkled throughout the league now, and Montana boys, man, watch out for us. We're taking over.
There you go. You heard it here first. Mark Mariani says Montana's taking over.
Right.
Speaking of speed, last week on the podcast we were debating the fastest guy on the team. Your name was mentioned.
Oh, nice.
But you did not necessarily win.
Okay.
So I'll ask you, who is the fastest player on the Bears?
Man, for me, it has to be between Kyle Long.
His name was also mentioned.
Probably Thomas Gafford.
All right. That's the long snapper,
you know,
for those
what?
Who don't know.
I put my money on our boy over here, number 11, JB. I think he could take anybody out there.
All right. Well, then
got love for my boy.
Other side of that, then who's the slowest?
The slowest. I don't want to say Clawson, because, no, I'm just kidding. Man, that's tough. Why don't I go both sides? I'll say Jared Allen's the slowest. We'll
okay.
See what he has to say about that.
All right, well, there you go. And you got the Montana connection there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He'll have something to say about that.
Wide open. All right, so you're sitting there, you're about to return a kickoff or a punt. What's the most random thought that's ever popped into your head? Like, are you ever sitting there, like, balls in the air, and you're thinking, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Am I going to grill? Anything ever random pop in your head, or are you so laser focused?
I usually try to be pretty focused, to be honest, but, you know, it's, yeah, I probably wouldn't be too good at my job if I was was thinking about that stuff.
But isn't there part of you thinks maybe, you know, if I was thinking about something random, it might not hurt if a guy is coming down flying to me because I could just, you know, casually just take the ball downfield, you know.
I mean, that's probably the thing you think about is, man, these guys are coming fast, man. They're right. Coming fast as hell. I don't know. I got to get out of here real quick. No, man, when the ball's in the air, all I am is just juiced up and ready to go, and I'm amped. I love it out there. I love standing under a punt or whatever, and, you know, it's a pretty big adrenaline rush to be out there with guys coming in quick.
Well, I apologize in advance that you might think randomly now, like, when Kevin was talking to me about that ball in the air, why did he do that?
But I know, you put that seed in my head.
You've done this enough. You're a Pro Bowler. I think you'll be able to be fine. What's something that people don't know about Jay Cutler?
About Cutler. Nice.
And I promise you he listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
You'll be careful here.
He and I probably have a similar love with Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people may know that, but that's where I first met Jay and we enjoy that city and I enjoy going out with Jay in that city because he's kind of the
king
big
there,
man,
right?
On campus, yeah. Down there. So I don't know, man. Jay's the best. Jay's the best for all the nonsense that's out there. He's one of the best guys I've been around, and not to mention one of the best football players. So.
So are you a country music guy?
Oh, big time. Huge.
When we hear country at practice, is that you? Is that like Jared Allen? Is that Slott? Like who's?
I don't know who's in charge of that. I don't mind it. I'll say that. But you know, I think I should get asked. I think I should be able to put a few hits on that playlist. You know, I got.
What's one you'd put on there?
Oh man, I'm all over. I got so many country people I listen to. It's crazy, but. I think I could help. I could help with the old country scene out there. We could get us going a little bit out there.
So back to, I guess, real football stuff, boring stuff. You know, you got a couple kicks you got to return at Soldier Field last year.
Yep.
And I assume it's going to be a lot more electric at the beginning of this season. Have you thought back to last year, what that's like in that environment, returning a kick there?
Man, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Soldier Field is a special place, and I found that out as soon as I got to town, and it's awesome, man. There's going to be so much electricity in the air with the Cheeseheads coming to town, and I'm just totally looking forward to it. You spend all off season, you know, January, February, March, just grinding. Training camp comes, and it seems like it's never going to end, and it's finally here, man. And I'm excited. Soldier Field is going to be rocking, and I think the Bears fans are going to get a good show.
All right, that's country music fan and Montana native Mark Mariani. Thanks again.
Thanks. Take care.
Well, I know after listening to that interview, all I want to do is go out in Nashville and listen to country music with Jay Cutler and Mark Mariani. We did tape that last Friday, so, you know, he talked about the Packers game, but he knew this was going to be taped or aired today, this week. So let's forgive Mark Mariani. He's still a good returner, good guy. And now we bring in, as we're going to do every show, he's kind of like our closer, comes in with 1.23 ERA, 43 saves on the season. Hub Arkish. Hub, who's your favorite closer of all time?
More importantly, it's Bruce Sutter. I mean, that's how old I am, but when he first, I mean, he had a split finger before everybody else in baseball had one. Isn't there a TV show in Nashville?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get a role there for Cutler and Mariani. We got to get them a regular gig there.
We should.
I think it'd be fun.
We should.
Yeah.
Arthur, that's going to be your job for this week. You don't have to write any stories. Just get Cutler and Mariani on the ABC show Nashville. All right, so Hub's with us now, and Hub is column that's going to be – you can read about it in the insert this week in the Chicago Sun-Times and Daily Herald and Northwest Herald. We talk about the hypothetical, the what if. What if Bruce Arians was the head coach of the Chicago Bears? He was one of the finalists. And how we had Kent Summers on earlier. And not only did he talk about what a great coach Bruce Arians is, he talked about what an amazing coach he is for the media. Just talks about everything. So now we got John Fox, Mr. Paranoia. I'll let you kind of take this first and talk about, you know, what it would have maybe done. Let's look at this hypothetical if Bruce Arians was the head coach of the Bears.
You know, you guys know, I've been trying to take the high road on the whole Fox media thing from day one. I'm going to stay there. It is what it is, and nobody cares whether our jobs are hard or not, you know, anyway. But I got to tell you, in researching that column, it was really depressing. I had to relive everything all over at how totally and completely Phil Emery screwed up this franchise because, you know, he comes in. And you would think, since he was getting ready to give the guy $54 million guaranteed dollars, that his focus would have been exactly, you know, what Ryan Pace's was. How do we get somebody who can make something out of Jay Cutler? So they come up with Mark Trestman. He's going to make the argument that he's some kind of offensive guru. But when you compare the offensive accomplishments in the NFL of Mark Trestman to Bruce Arians, it's like it's no contest. It was just ridiculous. And, you know, clearly it wasn't going to happen, because the hire was about Emery getting his own level of control, taking care of his own ego. He wanted to hire assistant coaches. Arians told him that wasn't going to happen. That's one of the reasons Arians walked away. But Bears fans, just go with this, okay? You were given Mark Trestman on the idea and the phony promise that he developed Steve Young and Rich Gannon. Steve Young was already on his way to the Hall of Fame when Trestman got to San Francisco. In fact, of his 10 best years of his career, two of his three lowest quarterback ratings were under Mark Trestman. As far as Rich Gannon, have anybody figured out yet that he's just Rich Gannon? I mean, you know, who really cares? Bruce Arians was the first coach for Peyton Manning, his first 2 years in the NFL. Then he went over and developed Ben Roethlisberger, a two-time, you know, Super Bowl winner. And then he had Andrew Luck as a rookie. I mean, if you were looking for a guy to work with Cutler, how could you have looked past him? It was about Emery's control. It wasn't about getting the best football coach. Now, all of that said, you know, what would it be? Would it be different? No, because it wasn't going to happen. Arians wasn't going to deal with Emery's BS. He walked away. That was the end of it. So, you know, we don't have to beat ourselves up over it. It's too bad that Emery was in charge, I guess, is more the answer than, gee, what if they had gotten Arians instead of Trestman?
And I'm sure Bears fans are totally level-headed about it. And if the Cardinals come into Soldier Field and win by 30, no one will be sitting there thinking, oh, this could have been the Bears if they had hired Bruce Arians. And when we finishing up our preview of Bears-Cardinals, we're each going to kind of think of a player to watch in the game for the Bears, aside from Jay Cutler. Arthur, I'll start with you. Is there kind of a player either side of the ball that you kind of honing in on, see, you know, this is going to be a big game for this player to make a play against Arizona?
Well, I think if the Bears are going to win, it better be Pernell McPhee. Getting one holding call just wasn't enough, obviously, to upset the Packers. And now McPhee has a really unique matchup against Earl Watford, who's only starting because Bobby Massey is suspended there at the right tackle spot. So I already talked about Palmer's kind of statue-like form in the pocket. And this is the type of matchup that McPhee was brought in, got the big bucks for. So that's the first guy I'm looking at.
Hub?
I'm going to pull one out of left field for me. It's Lamar Houston, and he's not a guy that I've been particularly high on. I didn't love the signing last year. He didn't fit the 4-3. He potentially does fit this 3-4. He only got four snaps last week because they were in nickel so much. That's not going to happen against the Cardinals. They're going to be able to get into their base 3-4. Even if Pernell McPhee becomes the player that they hope he will be, there's got to be somebody else who can come from different places, who can create a pass rush, who can create mismatches, and that's Houston. And so I think coming off a week where he only gets four snaps, I think it's very important for him to get on the football field and make his presence felt, or you almost have to start thinking about moving on and forgetting whether he can be an impact player or not.
Yeah, as we've talked about throughout the show, everyone's going to talk about this Arizona defense, but the offense for the Cardinals looked very good last week, and it's going to be a big test for the Bears defense. I will go on the other side of the ball. I'm keeping an eye on Eddie Royal, because I had such high hopes for Eddie Royal heading into week one. And look, the whole passing offense was a little bit out of sync. They were obviously being very careful with Jay Cutler, and he had to move the pocket a little bit. Royal got dinged up before halftime, so maybe he wasn't at 100% the whole game coming off the hip injury. But this is someone that's such a good rapport with Cutler throughout the entire preseason, training camp as well. And I expected, you know, I'm looking for bigger things, and I'm looking for him to really open up the middle of the field, which will create some opportunities for Alshon Jeffrey on the outside. We're going to close the show in a little bit. We're going to give you guys our picks for Bears-Cardinals. I do have to say, I did pick Packers 31, Bears 23 last week. That has never happened to me before. It will never happen again. So I'm going to use these 15 seconds of the podcast to gloat about it. But let's go ahead and make our Bears.
Just broke his arm, guys. It doesn't reach any further.
I'm pretty excited about that. A little pats in the back there. We'll start with our associate producer, John Sally. Your pick for Bears-Cardinals.
I'm going Cardinals 31, Bears 24.
All right, executive producer Dan Mott.
I'm going to go with Cardinals 21, Bears 24.
Okay, Hub.
Guys, I picked this game 6 weeks ago. And actually what I saw last Sunday maybe encourages me a little bit, or it did until I watched the tape of the Cardinals-Saints game. Then I got a little concerned. I'm picking the Bears, 26-24. I don't see them starting 0-3. If there's one of the three I think they can win, I think this is it. I think they're going to be able to run the football again, and I think they're going to find a way to get it done. And I wouldn't be shocked if Carson Palmer doesn't finish the game, because that tends to be his track record.
All right, Arthur, what do you got?
I didn't pick the game as recently as 2 weeks ago. I thought this was a big trouble spot, but I just think there's an opportunity here. I'm now going to say Bears 23-21. I think it's that short passing game, the quick passing game with Matt Forte being the focal point, will kind of burn the Arizona for being too aggressive on defense.
Well, there's lots of optimism here for the Bears, and I'm starting to see that. I think this is going to be a good opportunity to see what Fox, Fangio, and Gase can do, learning from mistakes in week one, applying it to week two. So I'm picking the Bears to cover the 2-point spread as we tape. I still have the Cardinals winning outright because they are the more talented team. Cardinals 21, Bears 20, and I don't expect that to be correct like my pick last week. That'll do it for all of us here at ChicagoFootball.com's Bears podcast. Don't forget, for all the best Bears news and analysis, visit us at ChicagoFootball.com and follow all of us individually on Twitter and get all our Bears stories at Bears_Insider and at ShyFootball. We'd also like to remind you that our podcast is available on iTunes, so head over and subscribe. Don't miss an episode, and hey, maybe even leave us a review and a rating. We do want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It's Chevy Truck Month, and there's a Silverado with your name on it. Check out all the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today, and drive what Dan Hampton drives. A big thanks to our guest, Kent Summers of AZCentralSports.com, covering the Arizona Cardinals, and Mark Mariani, the Bears kick returner, our executive producer, Dan Mott, associate producer, John Sally, my co-host, Arthur Arkish, and our closer, Hub Arkish, for all of us at ChicagoFootball.com. We hope you have a great week, and we'll catch you next week to recap Bears-Cardinals. Look ahead to Bears-Seahawks.